one of the most humble people I know. And he's a big time preacher and doesn't know it. He says, I'm not a big time preacher. He is a big time preacher. Maybe he is. And I love him dearly. I appreciate it. He had me come preach for him. That's how humble this guy is. And had me to come up there and preach for him. I thought, my, what is he thinking? You know? But we had a good time. I think there was 900 on Friday night, 1,000 on Saturday night, something like that. And then I got a group to the leftovers on Sunday. It was about 250. And it was a nice crowd, and we had a great time. And Brother Danny treated us very well. I'm going to treat him well while he's here. Y'all make sure you tell him you love him and all that good stuff before you leave. Amen. Brother Danny, come on up and preach to us. This water's yours right here, brother. If you need some more, you let me. Amen.
Hello.
Hello. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Yes, sir. Well, it's good to be here this evening, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I have already had the party phone call home a while ago. Mine won't work. And I said, I have no idea where I am. But that's me. It's snow tonight. Preacher was talking about how good they are. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. They listen. Paul was good. Hope you have too. And we are having a little bad weather, but it'll be all right. Tomorrow, I haven't seen the weather forecast, but surely they ain't going to do this all week. Going to clear up and preach.
Amen, brother.
Amen. It's going to be nice weather tomorrow, by Wednesday anyway. So we're looking for a great time in the Lord. And God knows what he's doing. He gives us exactly what we need.
Amen.
And I'd hate to be, can you imagine the Lord up there trying to answer everybody's prayers? Wouldn't that be rough? Over here, somebody over here praying for the rain, somebody over here praying for not to. And so he just don't mess none of us. Whatever he thinks is right. And I'm glad that he does. But anyway, right quick this evening, I will say I appreciate you being here. I know this is school night. Kids go to school tomorrow, so we're going to get right to scripture here in just a minute. But I would like to say just a couple things about the services the rest of the week. We talked on the phone a little bit about it. And we're planning some youth services this week for young people. And the Lord knows we need it.
Yes.
And he's got this theme of God save our youth.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, if they ever needed saving, it's I'm telling you what, young people are in the awfulest mess. It's so sad, the lives of young people.
Yes.
That the devil is just destroying by the millions.
Yep.
And so we're going to be having special, I'll be talking to them every night, but a special youth services Thursday and Friday.
Amen.
So I want you to plan on, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I don't usually do that, tell you ahead of time, what we're planning Thursday and Friday. I asked about doing the a new video presentation on the lies of Satan. That'll be Friday night. How the devil lies. You know, the Bible said the devil is a liar.
Right.
And the father of it.
Right.
He ain't never told you the truth.
Amen.
If the devil told you a truth, it was a lie wrapped up in a little bit of truth.
Right.
He'll wrap a little truth around it and then put the lie inside it.
Yeah.
And so don't miss the service. I want you to get to work and try to get every young person you get here Friday night. And they're not gonna get saved if they're not here. And so I'm gonna be praying. I'm gonna be asking the Lord to do a work. And I'm asking you to get them in here Friday night, 7 o'clock. And Thursday night, I'd like to do something that's for all of us, but especially young people, about how blessed we are.
Amen.
We are so blessed in this country.
That's right.
So I'm going to be preaching Thursday night with a video presentation. I have been blessed.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with us in this country? We become unthankful. That's what we're saying. And it's Thanksgiving next week. So this would be a good message to get us ready for next week.
Amen.
So get all the churches and all the Christians you can. Thursday night, a special video presentation. I have been blessed.
Amen.
You might not realize this, but everybody in here is rich by world standards.
Yep. Yes. Right.
Standards of the world, you're at the top 6% of the richest people on earth.
Yep.
I know we whine and talk about how bad off we are and everything. Ain't nobody in here that's going to be starving today. Most of you, it wouldn't hurt you to get your rich and sitting in the I'll tell you, God's been good to us.
Yes.
We have been blessed, y'all.
Amen.
And so don't miss the service Thursday night. So come pray, be here every night, and I'm excited about it. It sure is a blessing. Miss Harris, Miss Jeanette Harris drove all the way from Truth or Consequences, Mexico. What's the name of their town? Truth or Consequences. The real name of it. All the way from New Mexico. And I'm telling you, 900 miles. You believe that? That means one thing. They're hard up for preaching. I would drive 900 miles here, Moses and Abraham. We appreciate her being here, thank you, Miss Jean. Her husband, Bill, they come to our youth meeting, and he's had jury duty this week, so he's kind of. Anyway, I'm praying God will do something for us, and he's able, will it, if we'll let it. So let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. I've had this message on my heart all day long. Matter of fact, the last several days. And so I'm going to try to obey the Lord this evening and give you what he gave me. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And there's a king here and a prophet here. And he's talking to this king. And he's telling him about sending a present to Hezekiah. In verse 12, he said that he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And then it said in verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. I read that scripture and God opened my heart. And it said these men came all this long distance to Hezekiah. And it said they came to his house. And then the Bible says, he said, what all these guys doing coming over here? They come from a long way over there. What do they want? They want to see what I have. And he said, verse 15, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah said, all things are in my house. He said, I showed them everything in here. And he said, there's nothing among my stuff, treasures, that I have not shown them. I'd like to preach on that thought tonight, that question. What have they seen in thine house? What have they seen in thine house? If there were some messengers from heaven, some angels or something come tonight, and they came to your house, and they stayed a little while, I talked to you and I said, what have they seen in thine house? That's what I want to talk about tonight. What would the Lord see, or I would see if I came to your house? What would you see if you came to my house? What have they seen tonight in thine house? That would be the subject of the message this evening. Now, we've all heard the saying, preachers say, a church ain't no better than a home. And that's true. Our church will never be no more spiritual than our homes that make up the church.
Amen.
I mean, you ain't going to have the devil at home, and then everybody just walk in here and have the Lord.
Amen.
You're not going to fight like cats and dogs and scream, holler, and cuss, and throw things at home and hate each other, and then come to church and the glory come down and everything be wonderful. Whatever spirit we have there at home, we're going to bring it right. Now, you don't just suddenly go into some kind of spiritual trance when you come in church. You ain't carnal out there, and then all of a sudden walk in the door to turn spiritual all of a sudden. You're the same old, sorry, good-for-nothing, carnal, backslid heathen in here as you was out there on the way over here.
Amen.
Is that right? So the only way we're going to be right in church is to be right home.
Amen.
And what happened to church is a spillover from what happened at home. The reason our church is so bad off today, going home so bad.
That's right, brother.
I mean, man, as goes the home, brother, so goes the whole country.
Amen.
And I know that I know that Jesus died for the church. I know the church is more important. I know he's coming back to our church. I understand that. But our church is made up of individual homes. Right. So I'd like to give us a little thought tonight. say, what have they seen in your house? We come over to your house tonight, and I just come walking in. I wonder what I'd see. You say, Lord, have mercy. Ain't no way I'd let you come to my house. And, well, you know, I'm saying that makes it uncomfortable. It would. I mean, you know, the preacher's coming to my house. But, you know, the Lord, he comes in there today. He sees what we do. He sees what we've got. And he sees what we're doing, how we're acting toward each other. I'd just like to remind you of some things that you already know. And let me just say it like this. Here's what they should see in your house. First of all, this evening, they should see love in our home.
Amen.
They should see love in our home. Amen. Now, that sounds real simple, but you'd be surprised to see that at a lot of homes have no love in whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, it's just screaming and hollering and cussing. Some of these buskins, as you get more and more buskins, you'll see real quick why they act like they act. Sure. And why they wind up in trouble, and why they wind up in home drugs, and why they wind up in jail, and bring the home that they come from. We pick up bus kids every Sunday, and sometimes we go to those house. I went one day, and you couldn't walk in there. I'm telling you, I mean, there's stuff piled up everywhere. It looked like somebody just dumped stuff. There's one girl in here on the couch, and she was messing with a video game on TV, and her mom was over here on a computer, and the kids just running back and forth, screaming and hollering and knocking stuff down and fighting and throwing things. You know, they ought to see love in your house. Amen. Years ago, I was preaching a revival up in near Virginia. Now, I live about 2 hours from the Virginia border, the way I'm going, on the North Carolina-Virginia border. There's some really pretty country up in there. It's a lot of hills and farms. And out. The preacher took me. He said, Danny, he said, now, I want you to go meet somebody. He said, it's... the Mull family. He said they're fixing Mr. and Miss Mull are good Christian people, and said Miss Mull wants to cook for you. Back in them days, you know, 30 years ago, a lot of times is out in the country, and they'd have the preacher evangelist would go to different houses back in them days every evening and eat. And don't do that now. I don't want to, but don't ask me. They take somewhere to eat every evening. You'd be about to die when you went to church. But they do that. He said, I want to take you at lunchtime to the Mall house. We drove. I mean, it got worse. It's sort of like coming to here. And it got more out in the country. And we finally drove up in this big old yard, and there's this big old giant farmhouse. And great, I mean, it looked like something on TV, you know, Little House on the Prairie or something. It looked great, big old yard, some of them old mountain houses. I don't know if y'all down there in the mountains, they would, some of them didn't even have grass in the front yard, just dirt. And they'd sweep, take the grass and the broom, and literally sweep the front yard. Anybody ever seen that? And it's just as clean like concrete out there. Kids running around playing, and the house about this high, and had steps going up, and you could see out under the house. You know what I mean? That's where dogs slept. That's where animals and stuff could go in there. Anyway, they went up there and they come to the screen door, and a screen door open like that, and there's an old sister come out of there, old elderly gentleman. He said, how you doing, Brother Castle? I said, just meet you. And he said, I'm Mr. Mull. And a lady came up, Lord, she had that old great hair, but pinned up back here, you know, long checkered print dress on, about down to here. And she came out there wiping her hands off like that. She said, it's so good to have you, preacher. I mean, out there, people didn't have nothing. And they said, we want you to meet Harvey. And they told me about Harvey Mull. They walked me back in that house, just on wood floors like this right here. No carpet, nothing fancy, no nice car. No, I mean, nothing. I mean, you can just tell. It was like going back in time. And I went in this bedroom back here. There was a hospital bed. And this hospital bed, there lay a man on that bed. At that time, Harvey was about 30, 35 years of age. And Harvey was born... something about his paraplegic, and his arms are all just curled up like this. And he lay there. His body wasn't that big. And his head was normal size. And he lay there in the bed like this right here. And he said, "Hey, Brother Castle, I've been waiting to meet you." That's all he could do. Harvey laid there all the time. January, February, March, April, and stared at that ceiling. That was his life. That's all that he had. And his mom and daddy never saw another person. And Harvey had a little radio out here and a tape player, and he listened to tapes. And he listened to preaching all day long, every day. His favorite preacher was Mays Jackson.
Amen.
And back then, Mays had his radio program on. It's all over North Carolina, and it's called the Truck Driver Special. You probably, that was the name of his, it was, he preached the truck driver. And the name of his program was the Truck Driver Special. Come on every now and all them old radio stations in North Carolina. And Harvey lay there and he said, "Have you heard Brother Mays preach on this? Have you heard Brother Mays preach on that? Have you heard this?" I said, "I've never heard that, Harvey." And brother, he said, "Brother Mays this and Brother Mays that." And he's quoting Brother May. And you know, I feel sorry for him. I couldn't understand it. I stood and I thought, "Lord, I cannot imagine. I mean, my life laying there in that bed like that. And these poor people." I mean, they didn't have, back then, I mean, them people, they worked and paid for everything they had. They didn't have government programs and
right.
Everything paid for, food stamps and
right.
Everything else. But they, I mean, if you was poor, you just didn't have nothing. If
right.
You was poor, you was poor. That's it. You didn't get entitled to nothing. You didn't get nothing. If you didn't have something to eat, you'd starve to death. Or go bumping off somebody else. And you know what Tarby's laying there, and they said, "Well, it's time to eat." Went in there, they set me down at the head of that big old country table, sat down like that, and she brought out a big old bowl of corn, you know, mashed potatoes and green beans, and you know, had iced tea and everything else, and sat down hot, right, biscuits right out of the oven, and you know, everything. And I got to thinking, and then all of a sudden, I felt the power of God in that house. I mean, I felt the Lord in that. I felt, "Lord, have mercy." I said, "God's in this place." And there's that old woman that been in there cooking. That old man out working in the field, hardly laying in there listening to preaching. And you know, I was very, very young. And I hadn't been preaching that long. And I learned something that day. And you know what I learned? I learned what the Proverbs mean when it says, "Better is a little where love is."
Yeah.
And great sacrifices.
Yeah.
I've been a lot in hatred therewith. I'm going to tell you people here something tonight. If you've got the love of God in your home and everybody in there loves each other and mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama and the kids love mom and daddy and they love the kids and everybody loves Jesus, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You are a rich bunch of people.
Amen.
They ought to see the love in their home tonight.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I left there thinking, feeling sorry for these poor people living in a $300,000 house.
Yeah.
And got a Cadillac and a Corvette and get to travel 18 vacations. I felt sorry for them poor people. They're the rich ones over there.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? The most important thing in the world is to have the love of God in our home.
Yeah.
They have love in their home. They'll have love. It don't come to me screaming and hollering. And you know, every time you hear the news nowadays, some wife poisoned her husband. Son, wife, husband killed his wife. Been the barrel time. Wife mysteriously falls off the mountain, you know, up there one day. And he just took an insurance policy out on her about 6 months ago. And then she fell off. And ain't nobody there to prove it one way or the other. And the guy cuts her insurance policy, pushed her off of the mountain, brother. I mean, that's the day that we're living in.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, have they seen love in your house? Have they seen and should see love in your house? The Bible said in the last days, in Matthew 10 and verse 12, the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Father against mother, mother against child. In these days that we're living in, it's a sad day that we're living in. We ought to recommit ourselves this week to have love in our
Amen.
Home. I'm talking about God's love.
Amen.
Where we love each other. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you, have they seen love? They should see love in your home. But I'm going to say secondly tonight, they should see the Bible in our home. They should see the Bible in your home. Every house ought to have the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks a lot about there in the Old Testament. God told them Jews, he said, write it above the doorpost. and sit right it on so well the frontlets of and the children. He said, tell them in the morning when they wake up, tell them the word of God. He said, in the night before they go to sleep, tell them the word of God. Yes, every house here tonight, when I come to your house, I want to see the Bible.
Amen.
I have four bedrooms in my house. I had $3. You know, they're all grown married now. I think right now, if you go to my house, right now, you can see a Bible in every room. Right there beside the bed, there's going to lay a Bible. And then I have, like you got that Jesus right there, on the fireplace in the living room. I've got my favorite verse of Scripture, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then I've got the Bible over here. And I've got another Bible laying in there. And we've got tracts laying on the counter. In other words, if you come in my house tonight, it wouldn't take a genius to figure out that Christian people live in.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying tonight.
Amen.
If people come to your house, they ought not to have to say, what kind of people live here?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a stack of magazines that high, and it's a bad magazine, and then you got a stack of videos, I mean, there's people out on the front porch falling in, brother, and they got a stack of videos they pay $15 a piece for that high, and a flat screen TV costs $2,000, and they're saying, listen, don't see the Bible!
There you go.
Amen.
Your kids ought to see you read it. Your kids will know you're a hypocrite if they never see you open the Bible, except when you're at the house of God.
Amen.
They ought to know your Bible there. They ought to know that Bible is the main book of the house. They ought to know in this house we believe this book.
Amen.
This book is what we live by. This book is what we believe in. This book, now let's see the Bible in your home.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you can go in somebody's house and look up on the bookshelf, look on the counter table, the countertop. You can tell what kind of people. Ain't that right? It don't matter what they say.
Amen.
You can go to somebody's house and tell what kind of people.
Amen.
I mean, you look at what they believe in. You can see the Bible should be in their home. Ladies and gentlemen, not a bunch of dirty magazines. I've been in people's house before. Don't get mad at me. I've been in people's house before, and they have a teenager. They have one 12, 13 years old, and they go down there, and here's a big old picture of Miley Cyrus, somebody's almost naked, and they'll say, now, old preacher, I told that there girl that she shouldn't have that up there, and I'm feeling real guilty, you know, because I'm sitting there, and I say, look, buddy, listen, I love my kids, and I was good to my kids, I never was mean to my kids, but I will say, now, look here, y'all, look, this is not your room.
Amen. Amen.
This is my room and you get to stay in it. I paid for it.
Yeah.
I paid the heat to go in it. I paid for the air conditioning to go in it. I paid for it and you're not having naked Miley Cyrus on your door.
Amen.
They ain't going to do it.
Right.
If you're a boy, you're sure not going to have one of these wrestlers who's full of steroids wearing pink panties on your door. Hey, listen, you say, boy, he's tough. A man ain't tough to wear pink panties.
Hey,
something wrong with a man that wears pink panties. Amen. Hey,
preach.
Boy, he's been done. I don't know about that. Preach is what that is.
Hey,
I don't tell you something, brother. Listen, I don't see the Bible in our home.
Amen.
I don't see the Bible in our home. We are God's people.
Hey,
let the word of God meditate in our heart and our mouth, tell it to them. Pray with them before they go to school. Grab them while the bus is out there blowing the horn. Dear God, take care of them today.
Amen.
Watch over them. Keep the devil off of them.
Amen.
Lord, bless my kid. Before you go to bed at night, hey, grab my girls. That's right, girls. Time to pray. And they'd say, Daddy, I'd say, Lord, especially when they start getting bigger, I'd say, Lord, if they've done something wrong, get them. Somebody asked me, said, did you really pray? Yeah. I wanted them to be scared if there's something wrong.
Anyway.
And every time they did, I wound up catching them.
Yes, sir.
Somebody, one time, my middle daughter, when she was about 17 or 18, this guy that she really liked, they broke up for a while. And I was off preaching up in, I think I was in Kentucky or Ohio somewhere. I was in Ohio preaching at Brother Frankie's church. And all of a sudden, I got a text on my phone that said from her boyfriend that she had broke up with, and said, "Did you know that Carissa is at somebody's house and there is a bunch of cars, you know, like she's out of cars somewhere?" I said, "No, I did not." So I, brother, I dialed her number. No answer. I don't. You know, it's always my phone went dead.
Yeah.
Ain't that what I always say with that woman? Daddy, I was out of service. Daddy, my phone, I had my ringer off and I didn't realize it. Ain't that funny that they can always arrange it when they don't want you to know where they are?
Yeah.
Their ringer wasn't on. Everybody in here is with me. You've tried that, some of you kids right here. But tonight, you use that same low down trick so your mom wouldn't know where you was at. Somebody tipped her off, said, "Your daddy knows that there's a bunch of kids over at somebody's house." And so she got in her car and left and ran home and said, "Did you try to call me?" She's always the more sneakier one out of the three. I said, "Yeah, where are you at?" She said, "I'm home." But I'll tell you something, brother. I just get them together and I say, "Lord, I pray God that you take care of these girls. And Lord, don't let them mess up. God, they're doing something wrong. Get up! Lord, have to be scared." And I think about the fear of the Lord being departed from evil.
Yep.
I'm telling you tonight, we ought to have the Bible in our home.
Amen.
But I'm going to say, move on to you tonight. What else should I see in your house tonight? If I come to your house, we ought to see prayer in the home.
Amen.
We ought to see prayer in our home. People Amen. Ought to pray. Every room of the house should be seen with prayer. Mom and dad ought to pray with each other. Mom and the kids ought to pray together. The last thing you do at night should be pray together. It shouldn't be fall asleep with the TV on.
Yeah,
or the internet. I mean, nowadays, the kid gets his phone. I was saying the other day with Chris, and I thought, "Lord have mercy, if we'd have had this stuff when I was their age, Lord have mercy, I'd have probably done as bad as her or worse." You know what they do? How they get them phones, make mom and dad think they're asleep, cover up their head, and get on that thing all night long. You realize tonight, if a child or anybody has internet on their phone, that you have the access to every filthy, wicked, ungodly thing in the world
right.
in your hand.
Right.
And there ain't one kid that ain't curious about it,
Amen.
Including yours, including mine. And don't you're crazy if you trust them with it.
Amen.
You're crazy. You say, "Well, my child would never do it." Well, you did. What makes you think they would? Listen, if I had one of them things when I was 16, we'd stay on 24 hours a day.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, you better check up on our kids and on our family and let them see prayer in the home. Learn how to pray again.
Amen.
I heard a story years ago about the old timers praying. So the old timers had time to pray. They didn't have a electric dishwasher. They didn't have washing in the dryer. They didn't have all the modern conveniences. But somehow or another, they had time to pray an hour a day, and we don't have 5 minutes to pray. And this old man prayed, Dr. Percy Ray, he probably went. I think you said you'd been down there to Myrtle, Mississippi before. I don't know if you went when he was alive. I was there a couple times, I think. And Dr. Ray was alive. Old man of God had an unusual touch of God on his life. Just one of them unusual type fellas. Dr. Ray, he was never married. Lived a single life all his life. Pastor that church. Had that big old tabernacle, them big old camp meetings. And I mean, buddy, they pray. Them people know how to pray, and they did pray. And God heard their prayers and moved them. I'm telling you this to get you to pray for your family.
Yeah.
Instead of divorce, maybe you should learn how to pray.
Amen.
Instead of letting the kids just run wild, maybe we better learn how to pray again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of hating each other and just deciding we're going to live with it, let's learn how to pray. Amen. I ain't fussing at you if you done been through all that. I'm just saying we need to learn how to pray and ask God to help our home.
Amen.
Anyway, old Dr. Ray, they said that one time money was low and the funds hadn't come in, paid for the meeting, and something happened and they was out of food. They had like 1,500 people there and not much to eat. I mean, you might have heard that story. And I didn't have nothing to eat. And he said, old Dr. Ray, friend of mine, Bill Wayne, you know, that comes to our church, he was there and heard this in person. He said, old person raised him up out of that pulpit. He said, folks, he said, we're going to have to pray. He said, we're going to have to pray that God will send us some food. He said, we got stuff. We got cookies and stuff for salad and some beans and tomatoes. He said, we need some meat. He said, a bunch of preachers together like this, they want some chicken. And he said, these preachers want some chicken. And that's all a preacher's about is a fence around a chicken graveyard. And he said, all these preachers all got together. And he said, he got up there and he said, all right. He said, everybody bow your head. We're going to pray. And he said, them people bowed their head. He said, Lord, he said, we need something to eat for these people. Dear God, I know that you're able. Lord, send us some meat. We don't have no meat. And Lord, I really prefer chicken. In Jesus' name, amen. And he got through praying, and they had another preacher preach. And they said, in a few minutes, they said somebody come in the side door a little while later, and the preacher sitting over here, like pastor is over tonight, bowed down and whispered something in his ear. Like I do sometimes during the service. And he said, okay, like that. And somebody came in and told him, and said, this man was driving a truck. His truck driver came through and was passing through that little town. Myrtle, Mississippi is out in the middle of nowhere. Just out in the country. It ain't a big city. And the truck was coming down through that. And this guy, something happened and broke down on him. And he stopped and pulled over. And he kind of wouldn't start. Had terrible engine problems. And he called back to the office and said, my truck's broke down. They said, what he was doing? They said, well, we're going to have to call somewhere, some big city, and get a wrecker sent out there to get you. Said it's going to be about 3 hours before we can get anybody out there to help you. So you just sit there and wait. And the man said, well, what do you want me to do with all this chicken? Hey, it was a fellow in the truck, had a freezer in the back. Yes, sir. A freezer in the back, brother. And that thing was full of frozen chicken delivering them to a city. Broke down in the parking lot of Myrtle Baptist Church, brother. And he went in there and told them people, hey, walked in there and said, ma'am, he said, do you know what I do with all this chicken? He said, my truck's dead, can't just thaw it out. We're going to have to throw it away. She said, I sure do. Walked in there, told Dr. Ray, he's chicken out in the parking lot. And brother, they fried it up and set it on the table and fed the dog man. Hey. You say all preacher stuff like that don't happen. It does, brother. When we'll pray, when people get a hold of God. And I told y'all, God's still the same as he was last year.
Amen.
He's still the same as he was year before last.
Amen.
He's still the same as he was when he made the world. He's still the same as when Percy Ray prayed.
Yes,
we still got God.
Yes.
That can answer prayer if we'll pray.
Amen.
The problem is this. We go down the road to preach and put our makeup on, and brush our teeth and shave and everything else. And so, dear Lord, I pray you a blessing, man. You bless one of the daddy. And you amen. Crank up the country. That's the way to work. That's what's wrong with
it. Yeah.
Gotta see some prayer in our home.
Right.
You know, I just know an old preacher up in the mountain. I knew one or two that they'd pray when people couldn't help. A lot of times people couldn't have a baby, you know, a couple couldn't have a baby, and they'd go to the doctor and everything else. And they'd go to one of them preachers, and honest to goodness, they'd lay hands on them and pray for them, and next time you see them, they'd have a baby. I think I saw two or three of them like that. Now, this one, he had a reputation of doing that. And this man, they called him up to the house, said, my daughter and her husband can't have a baby, and they want one so bad. Preacher, will you please pray for him? And he said, well, go get me some oil. They went and found him some oil, and he went back there in the backyard around. He put it on them and anointed them with oil. Sure enough, next time he seen him, he said, she's about that big. He said, we're having triplets. He said, buddy, God answered that prayer. Having triplets. And they said, you know what, preacher? That day you went and prayed for them. He said, we went back there, and one got, and said, and they got that 3-in-1 oil.
Yeah.
Said, you prayed over that 3-in-1 oil, and the Lord, she's having triplets. Mom hung up and said, Lord, God, I'm glad they got him before he got to the WD's court. I'm telling you something tonight. Hallelujah, brother. God still answers prayer. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
And they'll see some prayer in our house.
Amen.
You know what? We could have revival if everybody in here would go home tonight and say, let's just pray a while.
Amen.
How long has it been discipline children. And I want you to look at the bunch of little heathen that we got running around.
That's right.
Yeah.
And proofs there. Look, Lord, have mercy, brother. Discipline is not something you do to a child. Yeah. It's something you do for a child. Bible discipline is right and good. Matter of fact, I was in school one day, and I was checking out, and this little kid over here was just cutting up, raising cane, you know, fighting his mom and everything else. And I was talking about, boy, that kid needs spanking. And the lady over there, she said, now I have good children. She said, my children have never needed a spanking. I couldn't help it. The preacher in me come out. I couldn't help it. I said, boy, I thought, I said, lady, they ain't never been the one kid on this earth that didn't need spanking.
Amen.
It wasn't yours. Wasn't mine, neither. Guess who that was? Jesus. That was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every other child that's ever been needed discipline, amen, including your little angel. That's right. I guarantee you, people are so blind. Oh, my God. Have you ever met these people that everything that goes wrong, it's never their child's fault? Oh, there's something that goes wrong in the nurse. They're mean to my child. There's something in Sunday school. That teacher don't understand. They get a bad grade. Oh, it's the teacher's fault. Listen, you're going to raise a hellion. You're going to raise that kid to go to jail. You better realize that your kid is flawed. You better realize they've got a sinful nature. You better realize they've got a rebellious nature. You better realize they need discipline. You don't like to. It's not something we enjoy doing. I just with my children, I never did want to. I never did like it. I never did get some kind of sadistic thrill out of whipping one of my children. No, that ain't what it is at all. I mean, I hated to have to do it. But brother, sometimes you've got to. My middle one, the one I told you about a while ago, she's about 7 years old one time, and they'd run around there in church sometimes, and we had a big crowd of people out there. And one night I was up making the announcements, and I noticed people kept laughing. I looked behind me and there wasn't nothing there. She was crawling around in the choir, sticking her head out, grinning at everybody. And then when I turned and looked, she had done that. And people were laughing. And you know, there's people that honestly think when their kid does something like that at church, it's funny,
yeah,
and laugh about it.
Yeah.
But when we got home, I told her, I said, look, that ain't funny. You're not going to disrupt God's house like that. You're not going to act like that in the house of God. I see them crawl into the pews, grab things, have food, make Cheerios, writing their initials on the pew with Cheerios, and people bringing Mountain Dews to church, and like we're going to movies. I'm telling you, people, we've lost our mind, brother. Yeah. We better learn some discipline and respect again in our homes and in our church.
Amen.
I wore her out that night. She never did that again. My daddy was up the mountains in West Virginia. And it's crazy. You know, everybody in West Virginia is crazy. Anybody here in West Virginia? Oh, my God. How'd you wind up all the way out here? That's that man right there. He'll tell you. They're all crazy. My cousin, Linda Gale, up there in the mountain. I mean, there's crazy people up running around down the road. And I said, why don't they put these people in an institution somewhere? She said, West Virginia ain't got no places like that. I said, well, build a fence around the whole mess. Everybody's crazy. And daddy was like that. And my daddy, when my mom met my daddy, he was telling jokes in a bar getting paid for. And the Hatfields and McCoys grew up there, right down the road. Matter of fact, my cousin married up. Well, I don't think they got married. They had a family. They had two or three kids, a little Hatfield, a kid and everything. And I mean, they're crazy. They're crazy. And daddy, when he came down to North Carolina, my mom was great. She was Christian all my life. She's straight, stayed straight. And she preached me all my life before I got saved. And when I started preaching, daddy said, he's got enough of my mouth and her goodness to make a preacher. And that's exactly what happened. That guy, because he could run his mouth. I'm telling you. And tell big tales. You never heard such tales in all your life. They all went down to West Virginia in our house and they'd sit around the table and smoke cigarettes. Till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just tell them one big tale right after. I never did know what was true, what wasn't true. But anyway, he had no Bible training. He didn't know. But he did have enough sense to know you can't let a kid run the house.
Right.
One time when I was about 5 years old, I had to be five or six, because we moved when I was six, and it was before we moved. I don't know where we live, down where I live now. I was 5 years old. I always wanted a cigarette lighter for some reason. When I was a little kid, I thought cigarette lighters was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. You could just mash a little button on fire, and I thought that was so neat. I don't know why I wanted one, but they bought me one. They bought me a cigarette lighter. A little yellow, just all square back then. A little yellow cigarette lighter, and I'll never forget that thing. And I just put it like that, and I light it. And I thought, man, that is the coolest thing ever. One day, and Daddy's always come to work. One day, I was down in the basement, and my sister's down there, and we playing. And I put these little pile of sticks and some paper together like that, and I took my little cigarette lighter and lit and had a little fire going down there. Well, smoke went up there. I was 5 years old, I didn't know. And Mom smelled that smoke upstairs. She come running through the house. I was on that door and said, "What in the world?" She come down them steps, thumped smoke down out. She said, "Son, what are you doing? You can," I said, "Mom, I didn't mean that. You can burn the house down." She said, "I'm telling you, Daddy." Because usually, we done something, we could pretty, we could make Mom feel sorry for her. "Mom, I'm sorry." She'd give in, and we, the boy Daddy will hear like that. She said, "I'm telling your daddy." All day long, I had that feeling in my stomach. Daddy, after his work, he'd come in. Well, I made it all day long. He didn't come home. Went to bed. About 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, I was laying in a deep sleep, didn't know I was at the world. All of a sudden, the door flames open, the light comes on. I felt something grab my ankle like that right there, just jerked me up like that. He jerked my leg up, held me up from the back, beating the devil out of me. I mean, from a dead sleep. Have you ever had anybody just jerk you out of bed and just start beating you half to death? That's what he did. Now, you want people sitting out there, "Oh, I can't believe that. That's a bad burn." I'll tell you one thing. I never did something no more fire. I got the message loud and clear. Where did we get this junk? "Oh, I'm going to put you in Carmel." In school, for heaven's sake. If you misbehave, they said, "Now, you have to just go down in the library." Lord have mercy, that's what we wanted to do. Kick me out. Put me in the library. Yes. I mean, I had ADD in school and didn't even know it. We didn't know there was such a thing. I wish I'd know that. I told them, "I'm sick. You can't do nothing to me. I'm mean as a snake. You think I'm hopper now? You ought to see me when I've got 9 or 10 years old. I'm a little hanging all over this place." Listen, we didn't know it was a disease. My son, you got to understand, my son's hyperactive. You ought to take a switch and beat that hyperactive.
Amen.
But the Bible said, "If thou beatest him with the rod, thou see he shall not die."
Amen.
You'll save his soul from hell.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, what in the world are we thinking, man? Lord, you cannot let a kid run the household. You can't. The average household is run by the kids. Mama's second.
Right.
Paul Daddy's down here, third place. Amen. He better keep his mouth shut and do what he's told. He'll be sleeping on the couch another 2 or 3 minutes. That's right.
That's right.
I mean, never going out to eat somewhere. Boy, I'm starving. Where are we going to go? Want to go to the steakhouse? But the kids in the back, 5 years old. McDonald's! Listen, I'm just redneck country enough, and it'd be snowing you know where when I took that kid to my doctor. And you're crazy if you give in to him when they happen.
Hey.
He said, "Oh, McDonald, I want something to eat. I worked all week." "You take him to McDonald's. Daddy's mean, ain't he? Daddy, take it." Old Daddy just does whatever he's told.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in our home tonight. We're upside down.
Amen.
They're opposite from what God said for me. Amen. Brother, we need some discipline.
Amen.
We all know this male chauvinist. Mean, but I don't believe in all that junk. I don't believe a man is supposed to be mean to his wife and kid, but he's the head of the home.
Amen.
Old Jack Wood, he's from Texas. You remember old Jack Wood? My brother, he told him he's just a rough old cowboy from out there in Houston. And he told him, he got one time, he said, you live in Jack Wood house? You eat Jack Wood food? You going to do what Jack Wood says. Hey, man, I don't care if it's cousin from out of town or aunt so-and-so. If I'm paying the bills, then I'm going to have to say so.
Amen.
Amen. Or have some discipline. You know, when we were growing up, we didn't have to have no cop in our school. No. We had a principal.
Right.
I was scared to death of him.
Yep.
They beat the fire out of you. You didn't sue them and all this kind of cool like they talk about that.
Right, brother.
I remember one time I done something, I forgot what it was. And the teacher said to me, he said, Danny, you gotta go to the principal. Oh, I dread it so bad. You walk, you try to act all tough, you know, you ain't scared. And I'm telling you back then, buddy, I didn't mess around with it. My principal told me, he said, all right, Danny, bend over right there. They went around just calling mom and daddy and asked them, do they want to come and witness it? Is it all right if I spank? No. I thought we were saying, please don't call mom and daddy. Why didn't you want to call mom and daddy? Because you'd get another when you got home.
Amen.
Mom and daddy. I mean, we're playing the system now, boy. I'll get you. I'll call my father. I'll have you. Have you seen how these kids are doing in school nowadays? And I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not being mean. That's still, anybody abuses a child won't be put in jail. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. I went out there and he said, Ben, all them boys, they put their MacBooks down in the pan. And they look like SpongeBob. They come in there like that, you know, all tough. He said, bent over. But he put me over like that right there. He reached in that drawer. He pulled out. It looked like it was that long. I mean, that thing looked like, brother, I took the six with a hand on it. I mean, that thing had holes in it.
Yep.
You know why it had holes in it? Ran blisters up on that rear end. And buddy, he'd ride back like that. I'd be, you know, and here he go. I mean, it's going to raise you off the ground. I mean, set your rear end on fire. I remember going back to class. I'd be like, whoa! And I couldn't sit down. I said, you know, the boys that hurt? No. I tell you what, we straighten up.
Amen.
That's what the Bible said. That's discipline in love. Not being mean, not hurting a child, not being some kind of an idiot, pervert, something like that.
Right.
I come out Bible discipline in my home.
Amen.
Right. We got our homes today are out of control. I know people on this too, that say we can't come to church. I got a couple in our church right now. They knew the guy started coming, but they had a baby. And he told me, he said, we can't come. The baby won't be good. I said, put in the nursery. He won't stay in the nursery. So in other words, we're just going to do whatever you tell us, darling.
Yeah.
If you don't want us to go to church, we won't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd be scared.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to let a kid keep me in church.
Yeah.
I'd be scared, Lord, not to take anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But choose no kids, no excuse. You say, well, I can't do nothing with it. I'd be scared if I'm a 175-pound woman. Can't do nothing with a 30-pound kid. We ain't got one. Amen. Five. I'm giving you five sermons tonight because some of y'all will come back. They should see peace in the home.
Amen.
They should see peace in the home.
Yes.
What happened today when people used to go to church on Sunday and all the family go to grandma's and eat dinner? The kids play out in the yard while they're cooking their biscuits.
Right.
And then come in and go back to church at night and then pray. Now this goes this way and that goes that way and that goes
that
way. You know, the Easter didn't even have ball games on Sunday.
Amen.
Yeah.
75 years ago in this country, they didn't have ball games on Sunday. Now, I know Christians wouldn't have. The football game don't even come on at 1 or 2 o'clock. They'll leave church early because they don't want to miss the pregame show. Mm-hmm. I caught up at our church in Marion, brother. I had the sound in up there. They had the football game on the TV, watching it during church on the sound. They didn't want to miss it. I'm telling you, we're living in a weird time. They ought to see peace
right.
In the home. Let me say quickly, number six. They ought to see a Christian example in the home. Treat each other right. Usually, a guy will treat his wife like he treats his mother. And a girl will respect and treat her husband the same way she respects and treats her dad.
Amen.
Normally, not always, unless God does something. We're short on respect.
Amen.
We'll say it'll be tonight, and I'll be through and I'll cut some of this off. The last thing we'll say tonight is they ought to seek Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Anybody, is somebody coming to your home? Do you ever have a good service? One of the best services I've ever been in my life was in my house. We had a bunch of kids over one night. That had been years ago. We had a guitar and piano, and a bunch of them got singing. It was a birthday party for one of the teenage boys, and people got singing. Next thing I know, it started getting good, you know. The Lord started getting in. Next thing I know, one of them was doing like this in my house. We probably had 50 or 60 teenagers over there, and they was in there. Next thing I knew, one was looking up like that and crying. I went in the kitchen. There's no boy down in the kitchen floor. I said, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In the kitchen floor, brother. Next thing I know, here went one running through the house. I'm, woo! Hallelujah! Help me say it! Hey. And I mean, that went on for 2 solid hours. Somebody got a video camera and film. I still got it somewhere. Wow. That won't mess us up.
Hey.
Why do we have to wait when we get to church? Church.
Amen.
Amen. We used to have what we called church after church. And church after church was when, you know, we dismissed. People about to get around the PM, we'd sing songs. And first thing you know, somebody give a testimony. People didn't want to leave. It'd go 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Church after church was better than church at church. They always see the Lord in your home.
Amen.
Heard this story not long ago about this boy. And this boy was real. He met his teenager. He wanted to go to a rock concert. His mom wouldn't let him. And he said, I'm going. She said, no, you're not. She said, I'll take the keys. You're not going. And buddy, he went in his room and put his headphones on. Them demons were just coming into his ears. Through that music. And he got hate. That's why them people on MTV, VH1, MTV2, and all them. All these reality junk down. That's why them people so out of control. That's why they just beat up people, hit people, and they had demons in them through that music.
Amen.
And stuff. Right. And you know what? That boy got mad. He went in his daddy's room, pulled his drawer out, reached in there, got the pistol, dried up demons, and driving him. He went in there, his mom was sitting there in the chair, put that gun up against her head, and blew his mom's brains out. About 17 years old. Blood all over the place. Mama lay there dead. He got the keys. He was going to that concert. She was not going to stop him. He's going to do whatever he wanted to do. That's how a home can get out of control. Jesus said that. He goes just like that. You got rock and roll and rap. You didn't come into your house. You're just saying, devil, come on in. You're inviting me.
That's
right.
They took that boy downtown and put him in the jail. You know how they'll get a detective or two in there. Arraign him for a little while, try to get him to confess, you know, ask him questions and everything. Well, the demon left him when he was in there. And they put him in a jail until my called preacher. They said, the preacher said when he went to that jail that day, he's walking down the hall, and he could hear that boy screaming down there in that jail cell. And he's screaming, no! Mama, I'm sorry! Mama, I didn't mean to! See, the demon left him, and didn't realize what he'd done. Destroy his family, kill his mama, prison the rest of his life. And he said, preacher, why can't I just go back? Why can't I go back? Why can't I go back? But you can't go back.
Right.
Once you done crossed that line, done something like that, you can't call the time back at all.
Right.
You should have had Jesus in your home. I don't know why the Lord laid this message on my heart tonight. I believe every one of us here tonight need to be on our knees.
Yes.
And say, what are they saying in our house? Got some stuff you need to fix? Got some music you need to get rid of? Or movies? Or habit? Or maybe it's just your attitude toward your husband, your wife, or your kid. Maybe, listen, I'm not people come to my house, I sure hope they can see Jesus. I sure hope that they can see love, mercy. Hope they can see the Bible. I wonder why we, by the way, we're going to sing in just a minute. Just step out of your seat. Come on down here. Come on, Christians. Let's get down here tonight. Come on, brothers. Just get down here tonight and say, Lord, I want you in my house. I want to pray with you, Lord. Don't be embarrassed. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Truth be told, it's what we all need. Let's get in here tonight. Let's obey God. We're going to pray. Something's already coming. You need to come. Come on, young people, mamas, daddies, just come on right now. Come on. Get down here and say, Lord, I want Jesus in my home. I don't want my home to be some kind of hell on earth where screaming, hollering, cussing, alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of sin and perversion. I want my home to be a happy place where Jesus is. Come on, that's right. Come on, ladies. Amen. Come on, baby. Amen. All we've done right now, touch this place. God, see an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival the next few nights here in this place. Bless Brother Chris, the man of God. Lead him, guide him. Bless his family. Bless every person that came here tonight. Those that didn't come tonight, get a hold of their heart. We'll thank you.